breaking ball and a call. Strike three. Third strikeout for Zach.
He's going to just watch it go. A grand slam for Bryson Stott.
And there's a high fly ball. Deep right field. Harper watches it fly.
From WHYY and Billy Penn, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight and Billy Penn. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. Well, the Major League Baseball season is officially here. Opening day, Phillies and Nationals playing in the nation's capital, kicking off this 2025 season. And we have got a midweek roundtable edition of the podcast for you to help preview this Philly season. And we'll make our picks for the 2025 season as a whole. We'll give you our award winners at the end of the season, division winners, how we see the playoffs shaking out. So a full episode, an extravaganza, if you will. Justin Clue, Liz Rocher, both joining me here on the roundtable. You can follow Liz on X and Blue Sky at Liz Rocher. Elizabeth, the baseball season is now here. By the time people are listening to this podcast, more than likely, baseball will be either hours away or in the middle of playing the game.
That's exciting. I've been waiting for this moment. We've all been waiting for this moment.
Let's for all feel, your life?
Feeling, since the end of last season.
Oh.
I haven't been waiting for the 2025 season theoretically my whole life, but
yeah, well,
specifically since last season.
You were breaking into some Phil Collins lyrics there, so I was just helping you along. Waiting for this moment all your life. Whoa. Okay. Let's move along to the other third of the roundtable, Justin Clue. Follow him on Blue Sky at Justin Clue. Read him at Baseball Prospectus. Hi, Justin. How you feeling, pal?
Hi. Did you know it's been 6 years since a Central Division team went to the World Series?
Is that right?
It's a long time.
6 years.
It is a long time.
I have it written down. I'm also actively confirming it with my eyes. Mm-hmm. I believe that is the case. Actually, I feel like it might be longer unless I'm looking at this wrong. In any case, the Central Division is going to be a theme, I think, throughout this episode in discussions of it. What exactly is wrong with it? And I could be talking about either one, but it's yet another exciting component of actual baseball beginning. I'm excited. I've struggled to find those butterflies all winter long, and I've just found myself the last couple days. They're in there. I'm very excited to see the start of the season.
Yeah, we just had to get here, and now that we're here, I am ready for baseball as well. Just about every day we'll have a baseball game to talk about. We won't be doing podcasts every day now, though. We've got wives and jobs and families and husbands and everything else. But before we get started, we're going to do a little over-unders on some Phillies numbers here that I put together just to kind of get us ready for the season. But as I was putting together a story for The Good Fight that's going to come out on Thursday morning, kind of looking back at past opening days of memory of note for the Phillies, one of those games is the 2022 game, Kyle Schwarber's first game as a Philly, where he hit a home run against the A's to lead off the game. His first at-bat, his first official at-bat as a Philadelphia Philly was a Schwarbomb. But as I was kind of looking at the starting lineup, I was like, wow, this is not what I would have guessed would have been the starting lineup for the 2022 Phillies. And I wanted to see if either of you wanted to take a crack at the order, the starting lineup for the Phillies 2022 opening day against the A's. Does anybody want to go first? Okay, great. Let's see.
Sorry, you said 2022?
2022, the World Series season. Joe Girardi started the season as manager.
Hang on. I know, because this is obviously he's not still the manager by the end, but that means that Didi's around. I know he's not beating off.
I'm trying to remember who's
but he's,
there.
He's around, right. And Ronald Torres, always a factor.
God.
Who was leading off in 22?
I don't remember.
Well, I just gave you a hint on that one.
In 2022.
Yes, 2022.
It's Schwarber. Series,
yes, it was Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. Right? I was going to say, I was
lead
at that
home
game.
Run that I just mentioned a second ago. Right.
Wait, that's so easy. I can't understand why you made it a guessing game. That Wow, that really threw me off. I'm out here throwing Ronald Torres out like it's a normal answer, and it's just, yeah, the Phillies leadoff hitter lead off that day at a game I was at when the Fanatic came in with the game ball from skydiving, and then Schwarber hit the home run and then came out and like got the crowd all riled up. We were really riled up that day. That
Not bad.
Well, it was a big day because, yes, Kyle Schwarber got the start in left field and was the leadoff hitter. Who was the number two hitter that day?
Gene Segura.
Incorrect.
Dang it.
Catcher JT Realmuto actually was the number two hole hitter on opening day in 2022. Your number three hole hitter was?
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper playing right field. Now your cleanup hitter.
Castellanos.
That's correct.
Castellanos.
Now, what position was he playing? Because Bryce Harper's in right.
He's
DHing.
He's DHing, exactly right. So we've got
Schwarber's in left, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Woo!
Schwarber in left, Realmuto in center, Harper in right, Castellanos DHing. Okay, number five, five-hole hitter.
That's got to be Hoskins.
It's Rhys Hoskins at first base. Yeah. That's right. The number six-hole hitter.
Liz, you want to take a crack at it?
I don't know. Are we still in Didi Gregorius country?
That's exactly who it is, Elizabeth. Didi Gregorius. Starting.
I already forgot.
The six-hole hitter.
You said his name, and I'm like, I'm never forgetting that again.
All right.
I said, by the way, I said Gene Segura at number two because he wore number two. I was like, the number two is in my brain when I think of Gene Segura. It's because it was his uniform.
Sure, that
was...
sure. Well, speaking of Gene Segura, you'll never guess who was hitting seventh that day.
I was going to say,
and
I was
playing
say
second base, that would have been Gene Segura. So two batters left, the eight and the nine hole hitter.
Which means Bohm is. No, it's not Bohm.
It's not Bohm.
Mm-mm.
Interestingly enough.
Oh, no. Is it Ronald Torres?
No, it's not Ronald Torres. It's not Ronald Torres.
Oh, okay. All right. No, hang on. Let's think. This wasn't that long ago, even though I was just looking at the list of World Series and going, wow, I can't believe that was already two World Series ago that World Series happened. But regardless. Okay. So everyone who's screaming at the podcast, calm down.
Thank you. And we're sorry.
We're just easing our way into the podcast.
Back down the list here. We got left field Schwarber. Mm-hmm. And the second name we said was, of course, JT Realmuto, catching. Yep. Harper's in right.
Yep.
And Castellanos is DHing. And then Rhys is playing first.
Shortstop.
And
Didi's in short.
So we've got a second baseman, center fielder.
Well, you already got the second baseman.
No, we got Gene Segura. Right. So we got a center fielder and a third baseman.
Center fielder.
Yeah. All right. So that means... It wasn't... Obviously wasn't Marsh because they didn't trade for him until the middle of the season. So
was it Michael Franca still?
No, Michael was long gone.
No, I can't believe I said that, but it felt feasible.
I mean, I'm about to ask if Herrera was in center.
He's still on the team and plays a prominent role.
Oh, that's a bummer for him. Rojas?
No, it was Bryson Stott at third.
Oh,
Bryson
God.
Bryson Stott beat out Alec Bohm in spring training. And actually, I didn't realize this, but Stott made his major league debut beating out Alec Bohm in the spring of 2022. Bohm did not start the season with the Phillies.
I have absolutely no recollection of this whatsoever.
Totally threw me for a loop. I could not believe that one. And then your last hitter is a center fielder.
For the record, I was guessing Johan Rojas for center field, to salvage a little bit of dignity.
Not at this point. No, he's still in single A at this point. He was later traded to the New York Mets. I mean, I'm sorry, not the Mets, the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, Vierling.
That's correct. Matt Vierling got the start in center. So that was the 2022 opening day lineup. I mean, this was kind of a last minute thing because Mickey Moniak looked like he was going to be the starting center fielder until he broke his hand. And so they had to throw Matt Vierling into the starting lineup in center.
Sliding door scenario, guys. Yeah,
well, might have been. And then maybe we never get Gregory Soto because Matt Vierling doesn't make himself so tradable to the Tigers.
And if we don't get Gregory Soto, then we don't get Moises Chace and Seth Johnson, who could play a part in the 2025 team. So it all does. It does come. The butterfly effect is real.
Team of destiny.
No doubt. No doubt. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. It's clearly not the lineup they finished the season with. The Bryson Stott over Alec Bohm at third base was a shocker to me.
I would have never remembered that.
Nope.
No. Yeah,
not.
Didn't remember that at all. Nope. All right. Well, let's start.
We all erased the beginning of that season from our memories after Joe Girardi left, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it gets brought into the whole trilogy of 22-24, but really the beginning until Girardi gets fired, that's all still part of the previous era. So like all that stuff is just it feels like it's just from another time.
Yeah. It more feels like the 2018 to 2021 portion of the window, you know. So
yeah.
But definitely an interesting starting lineup that opening day. All right. Well, before we go around the majors and make our division picks and our award winners, I wanted to throw some over-unders at you for individual Phillies here and also in terms of some team numbers as well. But let's start off with a couple of home run numbers. And I'm using some of the projections that I've seen for some of these players. I didn't use one specific set of projections. I kind of bounced around and looked at numbers that I thought were probably pretty close, but these aren't taken from any sports book or anything like that. We'll start off with Bryce Harper home runs. Liz, I'm setting the number for Bryce Harper home runs at 31.5. Over or under 31.5 home runs for Bryce Harper?
I'll take the... He could stay healthy. I'll take the over.
Okay, the over for Bryce Harper home runs, and that's a big key because actually I was, you know, you think Bryce Harper's been on this team for a while. He's probably had a bunch of seasons where he's hit 30 home runs for the Phillies, but he's only hit more than 30 home runs three times for the Phillies so far: 35 in his first season, 35 in 2021, and then 30 last year. So it's injuries are a big reason why he hasn't been able to do it. Justin, 31.5 home runs for Bryce Harper, over or under?
For a lot of these, my answer is reflective of more like the small. It's a small difference, but I am going to say under. I don't think it's going to be that different, but I'll say under.
It's like similar to last year, where he has 30 home runs. It is interesting. Like, he's got so much power, but he really hasn't had a monster home run season for the Phillies, and he may never. I'm kind of thinking if it's going to happen that it would be this year, but
well, in his defense, that year in 2019 when he first got here and he hit 35, his career high is 42, and he's never hit more than 35 other than that season he hit 42.
True.
I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. He's more of a. I mean, I guess you would call him a slugger, but not in the same way that Kyle Schwarber and some of the other big home run hitters are. He's a doubles machine as much as anything else. But he does, when he gets into one and get him in the playoffs, and oh boy, lots of home runs there. So, all right, I'm going to go over on Bryce Harper home runs at 31.5. I think we're talking 33, 34, something like that for Bryce Harper this year, if he stays healthy, which, you know, I'm assuming health for everyone. And, you know, we'll see if that pans out. All right, Kyle Schwarber home runs. Justin, I'm setting the number there at 38.5. He obviously hit way more than that his first two seasons and then was a little bit under that last year.
I'll just go ahead and immediately rescind the thing I just said. Way over. Way over.
Way over. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we thinking 45-ish?
You said 38. I'll put him at 38.
50. Yep. 50?
Mo. Mm-hmm.
50? 50 home runs? Over the fence home runs?
Hungry. Remember that contract extension? You were, 90% sure he was going to get in spring training?
Yeah, that hasn't happened. Yeah,
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Man's got to eat.
Yeah, all right. Schwarbombs, hoagies for everybody. Liz, 38.5 home runs for Kyle Schwarber?
I was going to say over by much less than that, but I could say under for contrast because I can imagine it. Depends. It honestly, here's the thing. It depends on what MLB decides to do with the ball this year. And no one knows. So.
Well, I will take I'll take the over on Schwarber just because I do, you know, look at his first couple seasons with the team. It really does. I guess it kind of depends. Like the changes that he made last year, the improvements against left-handed pitching. I feel like that took some of the home runs away, but he traded those in for a higher batting average and I think a more productive overall season, fewer strikeouts. So I'd be happy to take fewer than 38.5 home runs if it means we kind of see the same kind of offensive output we saw a year ago. But I'll just say that I think he clears 40 home runs this year for the Phillies. So I'll go over on Schwarber's 38.5. All right, Liz, back to you. Bryson Stott's batting average, I'm setting the number at 265. Over or under?
I'm going over. I'm bullish on Bryson Stott. I'm feeling good about him. Over.
Do you have a number in mind? If 265 obviously is low, what number do you think we're looking at?
I don't think it's that low, but I think we're looking at, I would love to see it around 270, 275. I think that would be like pretty successful. I know everyone's looking at him to go much higher than that. He has a much higher ceiling, but I'd love for him to find like a consistent range, just a consistent place to live. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, something kind of like, you know, an up and down season. If he could just like turn in a consistent like 275, 280, that's a big deal. That's big. Consistency is big.
Well, especially if that's coupled with the kind of walk rate we saw him generating in the spring. I mean, because if he's walking a lot and he's hitting 270 to 275, that on base is going to be 350, which means you might be looking at Bryson Stott leadoff hitter at some point this year. Mm-hmm. All this Schwarber-Turner talk. Justin, so I set it at 265. As I'm doing this, it feels low, but, you know, Stott hasn't he's had two seasons with an average well under that and one season with an average over that. So I think it's a relatively fair number. Where do you come in on it?
Yeah, first of all, if Bryson Stott finished the season hitting 265, we would be very pleased, I think, with him. But that being said, yeah, I'm going to say over, and I'll put him at 280, 285.
So it feels to me like this number would have been better if I'd set it at like 275 or 280 or something like that. Because I agree with you. I think it's going to be over. I don't think he's going to hit 300. I know I've heard people talking about that. Nope. And if you're going to make a bold prediction, sure, that's a good one. Bryson Stott hits 300. But I don't think it's realistic. I don't think he's actually going to do that this year. But I do think the on-base percentage could be the number that we watch. And if that number is around 350, that would be phenomenal for Bryson Stott.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I mean that's quite a number, but I think he's capable of doing that if he's on his game this year.
I think Bryson Stott's gonna have a big opening day. I think he's gonna be the one who kind of like he's your hit leader on
the
opening day.
Day star.
Yep, I'm gonna throw that out there.
All right,
he cracks the seal.
Okay, all right, that's a good question. I should have thought to ask who's your opening day star, but. It would have been dated by the time people hear the show. But anyway, I like that answer very much. All right. The next one is who finishes with a – this isn't really an over-under, although I want to turn it into an over-under after I ask this question. Who finishes with a higher wins above replacement this season for the Phillies, Trey Turner or Bryce Harper? Fangraphs is projecting both of them to have 4.6 wins above replacement, the same number. So – Justin, who do you think ends up with the higher wins above replacement this year? And then does 4.6, I'm going to set the over-under at 4.6. Is it higher or lower than that for Trey Turner or Bryce Harper?
Hang on, I'm just checking something. Okay. That complicates things.
I love it.
I've been sitting here all day waiting to say Harper. I feel like I'm gonna say Trey Turner. I'm gonna betray myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Trey Turner, even though I think you asked me that question straight up. My answer is Bryce Harper. But Bryce Harper, as far as wins above replacement goes, kind of a big swinger throughout his career, season by season. He is not a consistent WAR generator. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. And that's what I went to check.
Yeah.
Like, what did he have last year? Was last year a weirdly low year? And it wasn't. Not in reflection of the number you just gave. So, I don't know. I'm not expecting Bryce Harper to have a bad year at all. But right. I think let's just use this as an opportunity to say Trey Turner could have a really exciting, there's no reason Trey Turner shouldn't have a very exciting year this year, and even just edge out Bryce Harper in the war department.
Liz, who do you think finishes with the higher war, Turner or Harper? And what about the number 4.6?
I'm with Justin. I was on the Trey Turner train. I think he's hungry to really prove himself as a Philly. And I think this is the year he could do it. There's no one who's really there. The focus is on everyone to do well. And the spotlight is just waiting for someone to step into it. And this could be Turner's year to do it. It's the conditions are perfect, I think.
Is there a person on the Phillies, not to interrupt the flow of the under over, but like, is there a star on the Phillies, because they have a lot of stars, who is like under particular pressure this year? I mean, I guess if you want to throw Real Muto and Schwarber in there because of the contract, but like overall, it feels like things are just kind of like steady. And when you see the answers and all the stories and columns and features written about the Phillies, like going into this season, there's very much a tone of like, leave us alone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Leave us alone. We're tired of you. We know all this. Like, we know what's happened. We know what we haven't done. Leave us alone. We're ready to do this ourselves.
You know, it's a very interesting question you raise, because I was asked that question. I was on with Jeff Warren of the Philadelphia Sports Table. I did an interview with him on Tuesday night, and he kind of asked me a similar question to that. Which Philly's under the most pressure, or is there a Philly under the most pressure? My answer to him was, it's a really weird thing, but I think they're all under the same pressure. I don't think there's one player who is under more pressure than the others, but I think they're all under this enormous pressure to prove, because the offensive failures in the playoffs have been team-wide, right? Last year, Nick Castellanos and Bryce Harper performed pretty well in that Mets series, but it wasn't otherworldly, right? They didn't hit like three homers each in that series and try to single-handedly carry them over the finish line. They did their jobs, which is all you really should ask for. But, you know, there's nobody on that team where you said, boy, you know, they were the only ones that really, you know, so they get a pass. Like, each year it's been a different group of players, or really all of the players who just kind of disappear all at the same time. Like in the 22 World Series, Brandon Marsh was the only one who was really hitting all that well until there was a moment in game five where he couldn't get a runner home from third with less than two outs in the eighth inning. You know what I mean? So I think the pressure's on all of them. And I think it's equal, which is kind of interesting that it's not on the stars like Harper or Turner more than Stott and Bohm and Castellanos and Real Muto. They've all got this glare of these expectations riding on them here in 2025.
It's got to be a good thing, right? That they all feel
they
the
can
same
share it.
Level of
yeah.
Pain? Yeah.
Okay. It's like an underdog thing. I think they're
bonding.
Playing an underdog card this year. Well, that too.
Oh, no. I don't know if we can play. I don't know about that. I got some issues with that after that Tom Verducci feature on the Mets came out. They only used underdog once in the subhead, but it was all over that story.
I'm not saying they are, but I think if they need to use that as some kind of motivation, because all of the national media, we talked about this a couple days ago on the previous podcast, the national media has this team second, third, fourth best team in baseball. The national media, I've seen a number of people, Mark Feinstein of MLB.com picked the Phillies to win it all. I've seen a few different people pick the Phillies to win it all. They're a great choice to do that, as good as any non-Dodgers choice to do that. In Philadelphia, the vibe is totally different. The fans of the team do not have that kind of optimistic look at this team. And so that's the Phillies are, I think, focusing more on that than on the flowers that are being thrown to them by the national media, by the national experts and analysts. And that's where I really do think in that clubhouse, they're telling themselves, nobody believes in us. And by that, I mean, none of our fans really believe in us right now.
Okay. Well, like, hey, earn it, guys.
Right.
Three games in a row and you're fine. Like, it's not going to be that hard to win people back over. But like when Jim Bowden of The Athletic is like, the Phillies are going to win the NL East, I'm like, shut up, Jim Bowden. Like, you know, your opinion here is, you know, I don't know. It doesn't carry as much weight, because you also said in the same breath that they were going to sign Kyle Tucker to a 14-year deal in the forthcoming offseason.
Yeah, he misread that.
A little bit. The misread
$604 million, he's saying.
That's a whiff right there, my friend. Goodness gracious. All right, and just to put a button on that last question, I will say I disagree with you guys. I think Bryce Harper will finish with the higher WAR. Interestingly enough, at first base, I think Bryce Harper is the superior defender at his position compared to Trey Turner at shortstop.
That's a really good point. I'm going to switch back to Harper.
Harper actually generated a lot of wins above replacement defensively last year at first base, and Turner's going to cost himself wins above replacement. I know. I've seen the articles. He's really working hard to do. He's like getting old. He's getting older. He's 30. You don't get better defensively. You don't get more range defensively as you age at shortstop. So,
I don't know, John, you're getting pretty defensive in your old age.
That's true. I was defensive in my younger ages too, though. So that's the truth of it all. One more wins above replacement related over under. Liz, JT Realmuto. I have set the number for JT at 2.5. That's kind of in line with where he was last year, maybe a touch lower. What do you think, over or under JT Realmuto, 2.5 wins above replacement?
I'm going to say over. I don't know if I believe it, but if he wants a new contract, you know, if he wants more, if he wants to stay, then I think he's got to put up some numbers.
That's a fair point. I think as a free agent, looking at the other free agents on the list, I don't think he's going to have a problem securing a decent contract. But if he wants a really good sized contract, you're right.
Contract. There's a difference between getting a contract and getting a good contract. And
I think he's still going to get a real.
We're only going to take.
I think he's going to get a really nice contract, but.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But I think his past numbers are only going to take him so far. Like, this is a key year for him to perform well and show that he has longevity as a catcher, which is a tough thing to have, that he really shows he has it, and to show that, you know, maybe he doesn't. So yeah. I think that's a key.
Yep. No, I agree with that. Justin, JT Realmuto, 2.5 wins above replacement.
I'm going to say under. I'm worried about JT.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I am. I think he's a 2-win player. I don't think he crosses the 2.5 threshold, and I could see him being under 2 because he's going to play less this year too. That's the word anyway, right? He wants to play 110 games maybe this year. So I still don't know that that's actually going to come to fruition.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, have they even told him about that?
I think
there's
they have
no report indicating they have.
Yeah. Did he listen? That's the bigger question. All right. Before we move over to some pitching numbers, let me throw a couple of team numbers at you here. Phillies All-Stars. Last year, they had 8 players selected to the All-Star team. 6.
That's a hilarious number.
What a ridiculous All-Star game that was, where 3/4 of the starting infield were Philadelphia Phillies players.
That was so wild.
I'm setting the number lower here in 2025. I feel like that's a safe bet. Yes. Justin, I have the number at 3.5 All-Stars for the Phillies, over or under?
Over. And before you ask, Harper, Schwarber, Wheeler, Sanchez.
Harper, Schwarber, Wheeler, Sanchez. You got Schwarber as a DH All-Star.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm having him have 50 home run season. Got to have that payoff somewhere. I'm not putting that pressure on Bryson Stott because the bounce back season I think is going to happen, but I'm not going to say he has like all star level season. That's too much weight. And you know, any one of these guys really, like Castellanos can go off for a couple of months. Alec Bohm can obviously we just saw put together a couple of months. So, like any one of these guys can string together. Well, that sounds condescending. Any one of these guys can put together a batch of productive offense for the amount of time it takes to become an all-star in a season. That's why the Phillies are such a good team, is that they can do that.
Yeah.
Given what I already think, I'll give one to Harper and I'll give one to Schwarber. I think he'll be homering a bunch. And then I wanted to give it to acknowledge some pitching because we're going to get to a little more specific predictions on that level in a little bit. But yep. Wheeler, I think this is going to be a big year for him. And I wanted to give it to Sanchez again, too, because I think his success is real. I think he's a real, really good pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And I'll double that. I'll second that notion when it's my turn. Phillies All-Stars, Liz, 3.5, more or less than 3.5 All-Stars this year?
I had the over. I had them just at 4. I did not pick any All-Stars. I should have. It's okay. That seems like an easy thing to do, but I didn't, so I won't. I like Justin's all right, choices.
I'm going to go
with ignorance. No information for you.
Fantastic. That's what we provide to you, the listener here at Hit and Season.
I'm so intrigued. Where do I subscribe?
Download and tell your family and friends. I'm going to go with the over too. I feel like they have one position player make the All-Star team. I'm going to say Bryce Harper makes the All-Star team. I have a hard time. I agree with you. Schwarber's going to have a big season, but he's had trouble getting in, especially now with Shohei Ohtani as the DH in the National League. I don't know if they take two, but maybe if they list him as an outfielder, he gets in. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to say one Phillies position player all-star, and I'll say three pitchers go. I'm going to say Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, and I'm going to say Jordan Romano makes the all-star team as Phil's closer. And if you want a fifth one, let's throw Jose Alvarado into the mix. The Phillies had two non-closers make the all-star team last year. The way Alvarado's throwing right now, it'd be stupid for him not to make the all-star team if he pitches like this in the first half, but that remains to be seen, of course.
Who's picking the relief pitchers again for the All-Star game?
Who was the National League manager last year? So it was Dave Roberts.
Okay.
Dave Roberts.
So it's the manager. Okay.
Yeah.
I tend to be kind of conservative about bullpen All-Star awards early on because it just feels like there's an extra X factor when it's like, it's not fan votes. It's not like, you know, the other manager's just going to pick some guys and mm-hmm. you never know who that's going to be. But right. I think those are great choices.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Phillies wins for this year. I've got the number set at 92.5, Liz. Do the Phillies finish with more or less wins than 92.5?
As they finish with more. I think they finish with more.
More wins than 92.5. Justin?
Alex Anthopoulos said you need 90 wins to make the playoffs in the National League this year. I don't know. I feel like... I guess I've just been zigging and zagging a bit on these matters. I'll say over. I was going to say under. I was going to say, yeah, I have them about like 90, 91. But I'm going to say over because my opinion's changed elsewhere that we're going to talk about. And I think that's going to impact this. So I will now say over.
All right, I'll say over as well. And I think it's going to be by at least 2 or 3 wins over. All right, let's move on to pitching. I'll knock out a couple of these real quick. Zach Wheeler strikeouts. Justin, I have the number set at 210.5 strikeouts for Zach Wheeler this season, over or under?
You said 210?
210.5.
All right. I will say over.
Over 210 strikeouts. All right, Liz?
Also over.
Okay. I'll say he comes in a little under that number this year. Just, you know, year older. Maybe he's not striking quite as, but I think he's still over 200, but I don't think he gets quite to 210.5.
I think where his shortage is in innings pitched.
Yeah.
But he has still an astronomical amount of strikeouts. Again, I this is all feeding into future predictions.
Okay. Very good. Aaron Nola's ERA, Liz, 3.80. Over or under 3.80 ERA for Aaron Nola. It sounds high, but if you look at recent ERAs from him, it's probably not far off.
No, it's not. It's like a sweet spot between 2023 and 2024. Yet I'm going to say under. I think he'll do better than that.
Justin, Aaron Nola ERA, 3.80.
Under. He's due.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's due to have a good odd year.
Yeah.
Because he alternates these terrible odd years with good even years. He had a very solid year last year. So that's for some, it's been a weird quirk to his career so far. But I think he does better than 3.80 this year. I think he has a decent season here. So I'm going to say under as well. Christopher Sanchez ERA. I've got the number set at 3.60. I feel like we're all going to go under on this number, but let's investigate how low can we go, Justin, under 3.60.
I'll give him 320.
Okay, so a good 0.4 of a point lower. That's good. 3.20. Liz.
I was going to say like 3.4 or 5, like 3.4, 3.45.
Okay. And I'm kind of in the middle of you guys there. I'm thinking more like 3.35 for Christopher Sanchez, but that is a phenomenal season from him if he's able to do that. And it sure looks like he's preparing to have a dominant season in the Phil's rotation.
An all-star season.
All-star season. That's right.
Interesting.
That's right. Mm. And potential award-winning season, if we can be perfectly honest. But let's just say, we're not there yet. Two more. Ranger Suarez starts in 2025. I'm setting the number here at 20 and a half starts. If a pitcher pitches a full season, they have anywhere from 30 to 32. So I'm saying here where he's going to miss 10 to 12 starts this year, which is what gets me the number 20 and a half. Liz, is that too low, too high? 20 and a half starts for Ranger Suarez in 2025.
He's on the IL once. I feel like it's not an isolated incident. And so I think he'll start fewer games than that. Sadly.
So under 20 and a half games started for Ranger Suarez in 2025. Justin, how about you?
I'm saying under, but only 20 starts is where I have him. So only by a smidge.
I will say he's slightly over 20 and a half starts. I think he probably makes 23 or 24. That would mean he misses about a month of the season, all told, which is, if this is a 15-day IL stint, I say maybe he's got another 15-day IL stint somewhere during the course of the season. But, you know, if it's any longer than that, then yeah, you're looking at an under. But I'm gonna say over and give him like 22, 23 starts here in 2025. The last one I have here is Jose Alvarado saves at 11 and a half. The way the saves are going to work out with this bullpen is a total mystery. I feel like Jordan Romano is going to get the ninth innings for the most part here at the start of the season, but the way Jose Alvarado is pitching, I think it's going to be hard to keep him out of that ninth inning role as the season moves along. But how long does that take? Does he normally really just face lefties? It's a big question. So I'm going to say, Justin, 11 and a half saves is the over-under number for Jose Alvarado.
I'll say over. I think the goal for the Phillies is to expose them a little more in a good way in this particular category. I feel like that's kind of the intent here. That's the kind of new look bullpen you're looking at. You're looking at Romano, yeah, and you're looking at Alvarado getting a lot of late inning time. And, you know, they may zero in on Romano a little more in that role, but I feel like Alvarado, regardless, is still going to get more opportunities. And his career high is like, what, 13 saves in a season? And I think he's going to have more than that this year. So, yeah, I'll say over 11 and a half.
It's interesting. They've never given him the closer's job. He's never had the closer's job. Like, he's never been the saves guy. In Rob Thompson, and he did that with Carlos Estevez last year when they got Estevez. Like, you're our closer, you're our guy. It feels like Romano is kind of trending to be that guy here in 2025, and not Alvarado. But again, Liz, 11 and a half saves for Jose Alvarado, over or under? Does he eventually get the job? I guess is what we're trying to say.
I think he does eventually get the job. I think that's too few. I think he'll get more than that for sure.
Yeah, I see this coming down as kind of like an even split between these two guys. So I'll say Alvarado probably gets anywhere from like 15 to 17 with a similar number for Jordan Romano. And I really think it's going to matter, like, who's batting in the ninth inning. You know, is it a couple of really dominant lefty hitters? Well, that's going to be Alvarado's inning. But if it's just, you know, you've got one lefty in there, but two or three righties coming up, that's going to be Jordan Romano's inning. But either way, I think these two guys combine for a good 30 to 35 saves here in 2025, which is, I think, how Rob Thompson likes it. I don't know if the relievers like it, but that's how he likes it. All right. Any final thoughts on any of those Phillies numbers or any other over-unders, numbers you guys want to mention before we move along? No? Good. Moving along. Okay. Let's get into it. Our 2025 picks for the Major League Baseball season. We're going to go through and we're going to pick all the division winners first. Then we'll go through and we'll pick the three wildcard teams in each league. We'll make league championship series picks. We'll make a World Series pick, and then we'll do MVP and Cy Young. Sometimes we include Rookie of the Year, but I don't know enough about the rookies. I just, you know, it's a guess for me. So let's not just do dart throws here for no reason whatsoever. All right, let's start off National League East. And I'll start off with National League East. It shouldn't surprise anyone, given that I think this team's winning the World Series this year. I'm going to take the Phillies to repeat as division champs. The reason I'm doing that is because you could pick the Braves, and I think that that's a perfectly viable pick. They made the playoffs last year after suffering all of those injuries. I think it's a great roster, especially if Strider and Acuna come back, and they're the way they always have been. But this Phillies team beat the Braves two straight playoff seasons in 2022 and 23, and then beat them by six games, I think, in the standings last year. So I see no reason not to pick the Phillies. I think those three teams are pretty even, Phillies, Braves, Mets. And I actually think the Phillies are a good bit better than New York. I mean, have you looked at their starting rotation? It's interesting.
I got to tell you, on the Athletic podcast, Ken Rosenthal, of all people, was the only national writer or analyst I have heard or read in the past, you know, 2 weeks for this final home stretch before opening day, who was, you know, they were making their picks and they were going through and they got to the NL East, and he's the only one I've heard who was like, why are people so high on the Mets? They are an incomplete roster. Like, this is just not a, this is just, look at that rotation with the injuries they already have.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes is like the number one starter or something. Like, what? So no, yeah, he was like, you got to acknowledge these shortages here. I mean, like, Juan Soto's very exciting. Steve Cohen is very rich. Lots of great hitters, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, like obviously lots of talent on this roster, but it's not complete. And I don't know if you can really put it up there with the Phillies and Braves. I don't think you can do that. So it was kind of validating to hear Ken Rosenthal say that. I don't, because that's something that, and I'll just say this now. I kind of reached five or six conclusions just about all of baseball, given the picks this year. And one is that everyone loves the Mets, but no one thinks they're going to win the National League East. No one.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
So I've been putting the Braves. And in fact, in my notes here, I've got the Braves. And my notes on the Braves say that they, you know, health will always be an issue, but you can't argue with the depth of this roster. The thing is, you can kind of copy and paste that to the Phillies as well.
Yeah.
So I think these two teams are closer than ever, and I'm more tempted than ever to say the Phillies, but I'll stick with the Braves, just, you know, because I feel like one of us has to at least, you know, pick the Braves, just because it is something you can say. It is a pick that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think that's certainly again, a reasonable pick. The Braves are a great roster. They have a great roster, and especially if their two guys come back, and it looks like they will. Liz, who's your pick? NL East.
And I thought I was going to have to be the one to pick the Braves, because that's who I picked. I picked the Braves.
All right, I'll go back. You can switch me to the Phillies then.
I think it's a bounce back year for them, and I think they'll take advantage of that bounce.
All right, so I've got the Phillies. Justin, you're sticking with the Braves, or you want to go to the Phillies now?
Coward. I'll stick with the Braves. Good. The other thing was Rosenthal was really hedging his bets with every pick he made. So
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. All right, let's move along to the National League Central. Justin, give me your pick on the National League Central.
Hot dog! Do I have a lot to say about the National League Central?
Strap in. Let's hear it.
Here's a quote from writer J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This gave me a lot of perspective. I hope it gives you some perspective too. This is, by all accounts, the greatest stretch of Brewers history. They have qualified for the postseason 6 of the past 7 years. Since 2017, they have won the 6th most games in Major League Baseball. That's not super impressive, to be honest. But regardless, in the past 4 seasons, Milwaukee has captured 3 division titles, which is the same amount it won in the franchise's first 52 years. Whew. The Brewers have quietly just been having the most dominant era in their franchise's history. Unfortunately, their franchise is the Brewers. So that contextually doesn't mean you went very far in the playoffs, but you play in the NL Central, so you're probably going to do all right. They've got another batch of mid to good ball players, and we'll hope enough of them get hot to go further into the playoffs than the 7th inning stretch. Jackson Churio, I'm expecting big things from this year. I think he winds up being a big superstar for them. And I just, you know, just to mention the other teams here, the Cubs probably made the biggest signing of any Central team in any league with Kyle Tucker.
But
they wound up focusing a lot more on like deepening their pitching and their bench. And so, you know, they do have like, you know, Justin Steele, Jameson Taillon, Shota Imanaga, Ben Brown, you can even throw in there. Like, they've quietly built this very good rotation and they've added to their bullpen. But to get to the postseason, they're going to need these like big seasons from Ian Happ, Michael Bush, Dansby Swanson, Pete Crow Armstrong, big rookie output from Matt Shaw. I don't know. I think there's just too many loose parts here for the Cubs to really, you know, they'll be a trendy pick next year. But I think, you know, people just want the Cubs to be fun. And I'm only going to mention the Reds because I've brought up the Reds before. And I'm going to bring them up again on this podcast. But the Reds won't be interesting every day, but they will occasionally be interesting. And I'm expecting a huge season from Eddie De La Cruz. I've been practicing that all day. Eddie De La Cruz. I'm expecting a huge season from him. So, I expect them to be like the third place team. And then, you know, the Cardinals are going to implode and the Pirates are going to, you know, sink.
The Pirates.
See, I think the Pirates are an interesting team. I thought they were more interesting before they lost one of their top starters for 6 weeks, which is going to be kind of a bummer for the Pirates. But I had them as I didn't have them winning anything or going to the playoffs. But they for me are a spunky team. You know, like I think O'Neill Cruz has Eddie De La Cruz potential. He hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got Brian Reynolds. They've got a couple other guys on the offense. It's not a great offense. They're going to struggle to score, but with Skeens and you know, they had of, I've had the name.
That's the thing. Skeens, yeah. Bubba Chandler,
Mitch guy Keller,
Connor Griffin, who's a prospect.
Yep.
Once again, the future looks very bright. Brighter than the present, but unfortunately in Pittsburgh you never get to the future.
Right, and that's probably
how will they screw it up? What will they do? What inadvisable trade will they make for what stupid reason?
And I agree with you about the Reds. I think the Reds are also a really interesting team. Terry Francona raises the floor on that team too. You know, there's a competent manager in place now. Hunter Green, Brady Singer, Nick Lodolo, that is and Nick Martinez, that's a really good starting rotation. If the Cubs or Brewers falter, I could see the Reds making some noise in the National League Central this year. But anyway, I'll get to my pick in a second. So you're the Brewers. NL Central pick is the Brewers, Justin.
Yes.
Okay. Liz, NL Central pick.
Also the Brewers. All right. It's hard for me to look at any of the other teams. Like, I went back and forth with the Cubs, and I also kind of think that they're a bit of an incomplete team. Like, they made some moves, but I don't know if it's enough to take them over the line.
I will add my previous stat of 6 years since a Central team was in the World Series. I'm pretty sure it's been 8 since Cleveland lost to the Cubs. In 16. So I guess I'm bringing that up to say that the reason, like, we're both picking the Brewers, and I've just read that paragraph of like, look how good the Brewers have been. But you don't think about it because they don't go anywhere. They win that division and then they just, that's it.
Stop.
So I have an article coming out on the SB Nation MLB site tomorrow. It's my ranking of all 30 teams. And I had those exact same stats for the Brewers, 4 division titles in the last 7 seasons and a wild card thrown in the mix. But the closest they've gotten to a World Series was a 7-game loss to the Dodgers in the 2018 NLCS. And that's really the only NLCS they've gotten to. So to your point, they have good regular seasons. And who can forget a couple of seasons ago, 2022, the Brewers collapse at the end of the season allowed the Phillies to sneak in as that third wild card, right? Wasn't that... Mm-hmm. I think that's how that worked, right? It was the Brewers who collapsed and the Padres managed to get in and the Phillies got in. So yeah, very, very unfortunate that they haven't been able to kind of, you know, take that next step. But yeah, they've been really good in dominating that division, but I'm going to pick the Cubs to win the National League Central this year. In the Central, I like the moves the Cubs have made. It just feels like a team that's kind of moving towards something. So I'll go with Chicago just to be a little bit different there. And then National League West, Liz, let me start with you first. Your NL West pick, is it a surprise or is it chalk?
No, it's chalk. It's the Dodgers. I mean, how can you pick anything else other than the Dodgers, really?
I think I'm picking the Dodgers as well, but I think there is a reasonable pick outside of the Dodgers.
All right.
And I think it's the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm not picking the Diamondbacks to overtake the Dodgers. It's just they're too loaded. But that Diamondbacks team has, I think they are right there with Phillies and Braves in terms of overall talent. I think Corbin Carroll's a sleeper, and we could talk about I'm going to pick the Diamondbacks to go to the playoffs. So I'll talk more about them in just a second. I'm not going to, do that all here, but right now Dodgers winning the NL West. I will say this about the Dodgers. And that is, people have been making a big deal about the Phillies' age, right? They've got a lot of guys who are over 30. The over 30 guys start to decline. Kind of got to be worried about guys over 30 declining. Let me read you the ages of basically the Dodgers' starting lineup here. Freddie Freeman is 35. Mookie Betts is 32. And by the way, he's lost 20 pounds this spring due to a virus that won't let him eat.
That number keeps going up, man.
Yeah,
and Freddie Freeman took a pitch off his hand or something in BP.
Yeah, he didn't play in the Japan series. Teoscar Hernandez is 32. Max Muncy is 34. Will Smith is 30. Shohei Ohtani is 30. Tommy Edman is 30. Miguel Rojas is 36. He's their best utility infielder. Blake Snell is 32. Tyler Glasnow is 31. Tanner Scott is 30. Kirby Yates is 38. Blake Treinen is 36. Their average age, the oldest average batting lineup age in 2024, Anthony Dabundo of The Ringer tweeted this out, weighted by plate appearance, the Dodgers are the oldest team in baseball at an average of 30.3 years of age. The Mets are number two at 30 years of age. The Braves are number three at 29.3 years of age, and the Phillies are fourth at 29.1 years of age. So of all of these teams in this top tier, all of the hand-wringing about the age of the Phillies, the Dodgers, Mets, and Braves all have on average older than the Phillies right now. So that's thing number one. That to me is not something anybody's talking about with the Dodgers. It's only being focused on the Phillies. The Dodgers are old too. So if you're talking about regression, I think they're just as likely to regress as Phillies hitters are. Anyway, Justin, NL West pick.
Boom. I was getting ready to say, you know what? You talked me into it, but no, I'll say the Dodgers too. Boy, you're the D-backs. How do you lead Major League Baseball in runs scored, batting average, and on base percentage and miss the postseason? I don't understand how that happened. Well, the answer is pitching.
It was Jordan Montgomery killed them last year.
Very bad.
Eduardo Rodriguez killed them last year. They got nothing from that rotation.
I guess the question isn't how does that, it's how do you let that happen?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they invested in that rotation and it all in the offseason and it fell apart during the course of the regular season. That was terrible.
I'll tell you what, I think the only reason that the Dodgers get picked across the board, not just on this show, is because this is one of those situations where until someone else wins that division, it's impossible for anyone to envision someone else winning that division. I think that might be the only reason based on what you just said. I didn't know Shohei Ohtani was already 30. Wow.
He's already 30.
And he's not declining. But my point is,
a sharp decline from Shohei Ohtani in 2025.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So time comes for us all. The cold, bony finger of time will tap us all on the shoulder one day. All right. AL East. AL East champs here. This is this was a tough call. That is a really even division. I think the top six teams or the top, I think the top six, five teams in baseball are all in the National League. I think, the best team in the American League is in the East. And I think it was a larger gap before the injuries started. I still have the Yankees as probably the best team in the American League. I'm picking them right now to win the American League East, but you could easily talk me into any one of those other teams. There's a path for the Orioles. There's a path for the Red Sox. There's even a path for the Rays with that starting rotation that they have if they stay healthy.
Which they have not.
Which they have not been able to do that. But I think Orioles and the Red Sox improved quite a bit this offseason. I still think it's the Yankees division to lose. I'm still going to pick them to win the American League East. But with Giancarlo Stanton getting hurt, Gerrit Cole getting hurt, Luis Gil getting hurt, that has really closed the gap between them and everybody else in the league. So I'm going to go Yankees, but I don't feel great about it. What do you think, Justin?
Oh, the Yankees are finishing in last place in the AL East. I can't believe you don't know this. I'm going to read my other conclusions I made about all of baseball because they kind of feed into this a bit. So I already said the one where everyone loves the Mets, but no one thinks they're going to win the division. The central divisions in both leagues change based on who you're talking to. Like that's kind of that kind of goes for the East here, too, in the American League, where, you know, somebody one person has a team finishing fourth and the other person has them winning the division. Everyone is very, very high on the Red Sox this year. I've noticed it is more like people are just ready to see a very good Red Sox team again. It's not that, yes, I see Alex Bregman and I see Garrett Crochet. Yeah, I see all that. And they're certainly going to be better. In fact, I just flip-flopped the order where I have them now finishing second in the AL East, and the Blue Jays finishing third and the Rays finishing fourth. Losing Shane McClanahan is, That's a big blow. That really brings them. Their cute little dance with the last playoff spot will turn into a missed opportunity. Yeah. But that's what happens when you'd rather be cute than good, which means I'm giving it to the Orioles just because I kind of just want to. They're another team that's really close to just running out of like, hey, guys, the way the Phillies are like, you have nothing left to do but win the World Series. The Orioles are still like stuck in neutral playoff wise. It's like win a game. Win a game in the postseason. You're good enough to do it, so just do it.
It's only been
2 years, and they continue to not do enough for their own team. It is very frustrating, but still, I'm giving them the division because they obviously have great young players, who some of whom still have another dimension to find and another skill to unlock. So I'm saying the Orioles.
All right, I've got the Yankees. Justin's got the Orioles. Liz, who do you got in the AL East?
Well, I got the Red Sox because I think, like everyone else, I'm tired of everyone else. I don't want to put the Yankees. I don't think they deserve it. And who does that leave? It leaves the Orioles, who I also don't think are really quite good enough and who didn't do enough to really earn my prediction or earn my top spot. And so, you know, at least the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman and traded for what's his face? Garrett Crochet, you know, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think the thing with the Orioles is the Colton Cowser, Adley Rutschman, Jordan Westberg, Ryan Mountcastle, Jackson Holliday. I mean, Tyler O'Neill gives them another power bat in the middle of the lineup. They're going to score a lot of runs. Mm-hmm. Losing Corbin Burns and replacing him with Charlie Morton is kind of tough. Zach Eflin is getting the opening day start for Baltimore. While a nice story, and he's a nice pitcher, he's kind of a number three guy. So that's, they've got to find some starting pitching along the way this season in order to make that work. I think they're a top 10 team. I think they're probably, frankly, I have them as the second best team in the American League just because of that offense. So I could very easily seeing them as the division champion. You know, I've got the Red Sox. I think I've got the Red Sox at like number 9. I mean, the AL East really does have a series of really good, three really good teams that any one of them could win that division. And we've, across the board, picked a different team.
Wildly varying opinions.
They keep telling me, and I know Grayson Rodriguez is good, but boy, the version of him that Orioles fans have seen in lore is not the version that I have been fortunate enough to see in person yet.
All right, let's return to the Central Division, a subject Justin is passionate about, and let's give our American League Central picks. Justin, I'll start with you here.
Oh, boy. So, again, another division where really anything goes, except one thing. One thing is absolutely solid, and that is that the White Sox will finish in last place and
yes,
potentially, you know, continue to be the worst team that ever existed. So I'll go up from the bottom. Guardians were a bullpen-reliant good team, which is interesting. You don't see that a whole lot. That was like their big thing was the bullpen, and they didn't really strengthen their weak points after that. Losing Josh Naylor when, like, you know, the bullpen is already something that might change on its own, given guys. But then, like, you know, Emmanuel Clase also might be smoked. So, you know, I'm not expecting huge things from the Guardians this year. The Royals might win the AL MVP and the AL Cy Young and miss the playoffs. The Twins have a great core, but as always, can they stay on the field together? And the answer historically has been absolutely not when it comes to Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, and Carlos Correa. So,
and they've lost the heartbeat of their team in Max Kepler to the Phillies.
Truly.
God.
Truly. And this is something I just noticed from like regular scouting reports, but the Twins pitching staff velocity seems to be just like dropped across the board. So
that's not good.
Can't be good.
No.
Which means I am picking the Detroit Tigers to finish in first place in the AL Central. Because why not? Because they're coming off, boy, the Tigers, they're coming off a lot of letdowns prospect-wise.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get nothing. It wasn't Philly's rebuild, but it was, you know, kind of brutal. And they do have this layer to kind of peel back before these, you know, a bunch of young players can get the chance, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Tarik Skubal, Riley Green, There's enough there to win a Central Division for sure.
Yeah, Spencer Torkelson, one of those guys that they're still waiting to break out. Just hasn't been able to get it done. But the Tigers is a good pick. I know that's a popular pick. A lot of, but it's a wide open division, I think. And you know, it's I'll share my pick in just a second. Liz, AL Central division winner.
I'm going with the Royals. I really thought about picking the Tigers. I even have the Tigers down here on my little sheet, just in case I wanted to change my mind at the last second, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I think they'll make it tough for the Royals in the division, but yeah, that's what I've got.
I'm also picking the Royals. They were my sleeper team last year. They didn't win the division, but they played really, really well. I love the offseason additions that they made heading into the season. I actually think they're significantly more talented than the other teams in the American League Central. Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player in the American League, probably. Vinny Pasquantino has emerged as a star. Sal Perez just keeps doing it. They got Jonathan India to give them a solid leadoff hitter at the top. Cole Reagans, you mentioned, could be a Cy Young contender. Seth Lugo is still pitching really well. They've got a decent bullpen. I think the separation between them and the other teams that you mentioned is maybe a little bit more significant than some are seeing. And I think they're hungry. You know, they got there last year. They didn't do much in the playoffs. I think this is the year they win the division, and I think they make a run. So I'm picking the Royals to win the AL Central. I really like that team. American League West. Liz, it's your turn to start. Who do you have winning the West?
I've got Rangers and three question marks.
What do the three question marks stand for?
Sure, why not? I guess. I don't know. I've nothing, I don't know if Justin agrees with me, but I don't know if anyone has anything significant to say about the AL West. I certainly don't, beyond the fact that it could not be more obvious that the Astros just completely stopped trying.
Right. And that's another one of my big conclusions, is that the only reason you pick the Astros to win this division is because you're afraid of them. But yep. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're I don't want to say in free fall, but, you know, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker are both gone. Like, this is obviously a different team, and it is less of a team. I also have the Rangers. I think they got a big lineup with Semien and Corey Seager. Wyatt Langford, I know we're not going to do rookies, but he's my pick for rookie of the year. He hit .360 in 2023 in the minors. And then they got bigger with Jake Berger and Jock Peterson. Like, that's more offense packed into the middle of your lineup. Reminds me of, like, I want to say like 09 back in 2010, where like I was watching a Yankees Rangers game with a friend of mine, and like we were just watching the Rangers hit and come up, and just one guy after another. It was like that team with like Michael Young, Elvis Andrus, Meat Hook was on that team, and you're just, and my friend was just like, my God, they got a lot of hitters, and it feels like another one of those teams in the making. So I feel like they will handle the West. I'm not picking the Mariners. It's, you know,
no, it's a fool's errand.
I'm done with you guys. I'm done. All right. And then after that, you're just kind of like, well, all right.
they can pitch, but they can't hit. I mean, Julio Rodriguez, he can't hit everywhere in the lineup. It's really astonishing. They don't have an offense.
Shockingly. Quiet off season for the Seattle Mariners. Shockingly.
What are we doing out there?
It's not shocking. They don't want to do anything.
Get some bats for
Yeah, but Jerry DePoto hears a bird caw and he picks up the phone. Like, hello? Yeah, anybody? You want to trade?
Do it. he'll do it for whatever reason, but that doesn't mean that he's making the team any better when he does it.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't even do that.
I guess that's true. That's yeah. weird. Yeah. He must be. Has anyone checked to see? Has anyone done a wellness check on Jared Photo?
He didn't even make any stupid moves, right? He just didn't make any moves at all. I'm also picking the Rangers, and one of the names you didn't mention, which could be the difference between them being like just an AL West winner or maybe the best team in the American League, is Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
Nearing his 37th birthday, he's looked good this spring. If he's healthy, he can still shove, and he could be the difference maker in that starting rotation. So
I forgot to say that. There was a Rangers writer who did say that, like, you know, after his last performance, he looked good, but he did not look DeGrominant. Now, granted, this was still the preseason, but he was like, I don't know. I mean, you're asking me if he looked like Jacob DeGrom, and he just didn't yet. And he went up to him. He was like, I asked him, like, oh, you know, in whatever way that you asked that question to a starting pitcher like that. And DeGrom was more or less like, you know, I don't want to, like, he was answering him, but he was also saying, I don't want to talk about this. So, like,
that's,
you
know,
it's not like that proves anything, but I'm also just, we haven't really seen Jacob DeGrom pitch for the Rangers.
Right.
And I still want to allow for the chance of that to happen. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would like to see him pitch extremely well for a team that's not the Mets.
That's right. And well, far away from the Phillies, right? I mean, that was that opening day loss to DeGrom. Was that 2 years ago? Was that 2023? Or was that last year?
Oh, I don't remember.
Remember, they had a 5-0 lead on DeGrom, and then they gave it all. It was Aaron Nola, so that was 2023. That wouldn't have been, because Zach Wheeler started the opening day last year. So.
That was a terrible opening day.
That was a horrific terrible opening day.
Wow.
Oh, that was awful.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible. Cool. All right, it's wild card time. So let's go through, and we'll give wild card one here. I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks as the top wild card team in the National League. Again, I think they've got so many good pieces there. Corbin Carroll, really, after 4 months where he was brutal last year, I mean, the worst hitter in baseball for the first 4 months last year, flipped a switch and figured it out. It was kind of like a Trey Turner 2023 start to the season, where it was just shocking how bad he was. And then the switch flipped and Corbin Carroll became one of the best players in baseball again. They got Josh Naylor, a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy. Ketel Marte is there. Lourdes Gurriel is there. They are going to score a bunch of runs. They pick up Corbin Burnes for the rotation to go with Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. I know Jordan Montgomery is going to have Tommy John surgery, so they don't have to worry about trying to shove him into the starting rotation. I think the Diamondbacks could challenge the Dodgers. If the Dodgers have any kind of slip up, I think the Diamondbacks are going to keep it close for a lot of the season. As much as I hate Arizona and I hate that team and don't want anything good to happen to them, I think Arizona's as good as the Mets and maybe just like a half a step behind the Braves and the Phillies right now. Justin, your first wild card team.
The Phillies. I have to say the Phillies. Okay. Absolutely.
Liz?
Same. It's okay. The Phillies.
Wild card number two, Justin. Who's your second wild card?
That one I put the D-backs.
Okay. Liz?
I also have the Diamondbacks.
Well, also the Diamondbacks. Wow. Okay. And I have the Braves as wild card number two here. I'm kind of regretting my third wild card pick after what we were just talking about. But Liz, I'll start off with you. Third wild card team is?
I have the Mets. I regret it after what we talked about, but I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. Justin?
So I'm not saying the Mets. And in the same way I can't say the Mariners, I've also sworn off the Padres, which is kind of what I wanted to say here. So I guess I'm going to say the Cubs.
The Cubbies as wild card three. All right, so I've got the D-backs, Braves, and Mets. Justin has the Phillies, D-backs, and Cubs. Liz has the Phillies, D-backs, and Mets as the three wild cards. Let's move over to the American League. American League wild card number one. I've got the Red Sox as the top wild card team in the American League. Justin?
I also have the Red Sox.
All right, and Liz?
I have the Yankees.
All right. Wild card number two, I am going with the Detroit Tigers, the Tigres, as wild card two. Justin?
I will say the Kansas City Royals.
All right. And Liz?
I got the Orioles.
All right. And then for wild card number three, I'm taking the O's. The Baltimore Orioles is wild card number three for me. Justin?
I guess I'm in a bit of a pickle here. It's not the Yankees. I've already put them in last. It's not the Rays. It's not, I can't say the Mariners. So I got to go back to the Central, which is funny given how, because, you know, the Central doesn't have to be good.
They had three teams in there last year. Three of the final four teams in the American League were Central teams.
Yeah, it's not so much that the Central, I mean, the Central's have some bad teams. The worst, some of the worst teams are in the Central divisions, but I guess it's more of their closeness and lack of complete dominance that kind of defines these teams. So, I guess I'll go back to the Twins.
All right. You got the Twins in the as the third wild card. Nice surprise team there. I can see that. Liz?
I have the Astros.
I was not expecting you to say the Astros of all people. Wowzers. We all know that this is not your slightly older brother's Astros, where they went to the American League Championship Series each and every year. I do think there's enough talent on there for them to get back to the playoffs, but I think they're probably
They're going to go that far. But
right. But I've got them as probably the next team out. So, interesting. Okay. So I've got Red Sox, Tigers, O's. Justin has Red Sox, Royals, Twins. Liz has Yankees, O's, and Astros. Let's move on to our National League Championship Series pick. So who's the final two in the National League vying for the World Series? Give me who beats who.
I'm going to say Phillies over Diamondbacks.
I love it.
That's narratively satisfying. For
it is.
Sure.
It absolutely is. Liz, your NLCS team's winner over loser.
I've got Dodgers over Phillies.
Dodgers over Phillies. I disagree.
I don't like it either, but hey.
Someone came to your house and held a gun to your head and made you do that? Come on.
You have to pick the worst outcome. I understand.
I picked them to win it all last year, and it did not go my way.
Well, just because you try something once and it fails, that doesn't mean you don't try again.
Or you could just be like the Phillies in the playoffs and give up immediately.
Yeah, wait, that's true. I think what we're seeing here. I think one's more reliable than the other, for sure. I am picking the Phillies over the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series. I see no reason not to pick the Phillies, given that there are a number of national folks who also believe the Phillies. It's not a homer pick to pick the Phillies to win the World Series. It just isn't.
Not.
They're that good. All right. American League Championship Series. I'll start off with this one. I have got, this is going to be kind of off the grid. Although the American League is so wide open, it's hard to kind of say that there's a consensus. I've got the Royals over the Rangers in the American League Championship Series. Royals over the Rangers. Royals going to the World Series. Justin.
I'm going to say Royals over Orioles.
Wow. Okay.
I feel like I've been not talked into the Royals, but I don't know. There's enough going on there that's a little just more significant than what's happening elsewhere in the American League.
Yeah, I think there's a vibe. I'm feeling the vibe from here. Liz, ALCS pick?
I've got Red Sox over Yankees because I love a big TV audience.
Yeah, that is it.
Oh, so you're going to have a real fun season, seems like.
Oh, yeah.
So Liz has got Dodgers and Red Sox. I believe that's a 2018 rematch, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
Yeah, 2018 or 2019. Maybe that's 2019. No, 2019 was the Nationals. So that's got to be, Dodgers, Red Sox. So who is your World Series pick, Liz? Dodgers, Red Sox?
Dodgers, baby.
So Liz has the Dodgers repeating, the first team to repeat in Major League Baseball since the 1998 to 2000 New York Yankees. This Dodgers team will buck the trend in much the same way the Kansas City Chiefs became the first team to win three straight Super Bowls. And oh, wait a minute, that didn't happen.
Yeah, John, I will check your history there, Fred.
Yes, Alan, go back to the books. Justin, your World Series pick. We have the same World Series pick here.
I think we're going to do the same thing, yeah.
A 1980 rematch from the Phillies' first World Championship. Let me hear it. Give it to me.
Phillies over Royals.
I love it.
Six games.
That is, if anybody has been following my Twitter timeline, I put that out early on Thursday night. Phillies over Royals in six was my prediction as well. That would be so much fun. Oh my gosh.
It would be incredible.
The nostalgia would be oozing everywhere. It would be great to resurrect the vet to play that World Series, but you can't do that.
And hey, look, that the Royal Stadium, Kauffman is the most 80s stadium have ever been to.
That would be
to this day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's great. I love that they haven't torn it down and rebuilt it, that they just keep renovating it and
it's,
you know,
great.
It's just a great thing. That's so cool. What they're doing in Kansas City. That's a great baseball town. It would be a great World Series if they can make it work. All right, NL MVP, Justin, who do you got as your NL MVP?
Can you actually give me a second here? I need to look. I have these all written out.
Well, here, I'll go first. Okay. I'll give you my National League MVP. I'm kind of going chalk here. I'm picking Juan Soto. Just, I think he's going to have a phenomenal year in New York. I don't think he's going to lead them to a title or anything like that. But, you know, it's hard to pick somebody. I mean, I think there's maybe a little Shohei fatigue as well this year that sets in. So I'm going to
I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're there yet with Shohei fatigue.
All right. Well, Justin, who do you got?
Eli De La Cruz.
Oh, he's
big year ahead. Big year.
People don't realize he was a six-win player last year. Mm-hmm. Like, he already has arrived, you know, which is kind of amazing. But Eli De La Cruz is a good pick for National League MVP.
Jason Stark was laying out a situation where he's got like 90 stolen bases in September. And then we're all just watching. We're doing like we're cutting into games with like Eli De La Cruz is on first. We're going to see him steal 100 bases. I mean, that's cool.
Oh, man. I'd love to see another. That would be awesome.
Love to see another 100 base stealer, man. It's been so long.
So cool.
Been too long. Liz, who's your NL MVP?
Oh, that'd be so cool. And yet I'm still choosing Shohei Ohtani. I don't think there's any Shohei fatigue. I think the baseball writers and the beat reporters and the people that choose it are all there. They're all still in love with him. And I think rightly so. I don't think there's ever been anyone like him. And they're all realizing that they're getting to live alongside, you know, live and play alongside a legend. So I can't blame him for it.
I can't either. And especially if he does get back on the mound and pitch this year, that would only enhance the aura, but still good enough. He's not going to have a season like he had last year. Like, that was a legendary once in a lifetime season, but he doesn't have to in order to win the MVP. But I'll go with Soto. Justin's going with Eli De La Cruz and Liz with Shohei Ohtani. In the American League, I am picking Bobby Witt Jr. as the MVP in the American League. You could argue he could have won it last year over Aaron Judge, although Aaron Judge did have a wildly crazy, disgustingly good season. But Bobby Witt Jr., I think, is the best player in that league right now. So I think he ends up winning it, especially for a team that goes to the World Series. Justin, who's your AL MVP?
I also said Bobby Witt Jr. My top three would be Bobby Witt. Then I had Gunnar Henderson, number two. And I misspoke earlier when I said Wyatt Langford was my rookie of the year pick. He was my third pick for MVP. He is not a rookie anymore. So no. If that had been my pick for that, just a bad pick. Objectively bad pick for rookie of the year.
Cannot win.
That's why we didn't do rookies of the year this time around. Cause yeah, I don't know the first thing about the rookies, but you've Bobby Witt, Liz, who's your American League MVP?
I got the same Bobby Witt.
All right. Chalk across the board. We love ourselves some Bobby Witt Jr. around
here.
Yeah,
we do.
All right, Justin, give me your Zach Wheeler for a Cy Young. Oh, I mean, give me your Cy Young pick. I don't know who it's going to be.
Well, I, of course, selected Clay Holmes of the New York Mets to win.
So you're
the,
going no. chalk, in other words, on us. Is that what you're doing?
Zach Wheeler, of course, is yes. my choice for an NL Cy Young.
Well, Liz, are you also Zach Wheelering this?
You're having one of those years where you're afraid to hit too many buttons. Yep. I'm really getting that now.
I got burnt bad last year, and I don't have him written down. I almost called an audible and put him down because I was peer pressured. Don't succumb to peer pressure. I got Paul Skeens. I don't see how anyone could beat Paul Skeens these days.
Well, he's a child, you know.
Yeah, he's, yeah, exactly. I'm going to go with Wheeler. I still think, here's the way I look at it. If Skeens and Wheeler both have typical Skeens-Wheeler seasons, and I think I've made this point a little bit before, Wheeler's come close twice. He's been runner-up twice. Skeens has his entire career in front of him. I think the writers, if it's close, lean to Wheeler as opposed to Skeens, knowing that this probably is Wheeler's last shot at a Cy Young. Skeens has a decade in front of him of being one of the game's top two or three pitchers. He's probably going to get one at some other point. So that's the only reason why I would say, like, unless Wheeler has a substandard season for him, if it's close, he gets a Zach Wheeler season, I think it's Wheeler. I know it's a close race because there's a lot of good starting pitchers in the National League. I think you're right. I think Skeens is probably number two. I'm going to go Wheeler too. I'm going to go Wheeler as well. I think this is the year he finally does it.
And I hope it's correct. I hope I'm wrong.
I know. And then, so your American League Cy Young Award winner, Liz, is?
Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, hard to argue with that one. That's who I've got as well. I'm taking Skubal to win the AL Cy Young. Justin?
Me too. I got Cole Reagans and Logan Gilbert behind him, but it's tough, man. You watch, go back and watch some of that that footage of Tarek Skubal pitching, and you look at his numbers. I mean, there is something very serious happening there, and Tigers fans are very aware of that. These like starved Tigers fans who aren't just starved for like let's be good again, but like give us a guy again. We had so many guys to latch on to before, and like we just don't have that anymore. And now Skubal's come around, and it's just like, oh my god, he's a guy. Buster Olney was talking about how you're lying to yourself if you're not picking the Dodgers to win the World Series, but I think that applies to Tarek Skubal in the AL, honestly.
Yeah. Well, and I saw too, like, you know, it's people were talking about, we were talking about Andrew Painter on the last podcast, but also a couple of weeks ago, Justin. And I think I saw it was Jason Stark on a recent podcast. So basically was saying Andrew Painter is going to be Garrett Cole. Like that is who he's going to be. And it could be as soon as like late this year, or certainly in 2026.
Oh,
like
my heart hurts.
When you get a pitcher like that, they don't come around very often. And I think that's what Detroit has found in Skubal. Guy I never heard of before last year. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, yeah, you're the best pitcher in baseball right now. I think it could be like a unanimous selection in the American League, Tarek Skubal winning. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Jim Bowden also said that Andrew Painter is going to make a playoff start.
I got to squint real hard to see that one. I'm not sure how that happens.
Yeah, Jim. Did you hear the thing about the $604 million to Kyle Tucker? So, you know, keep that in mind.
My God.
Be able to take that into account for sure. He's
employed to do that for a living. I just want to make sure everyone remembers that. He's employed to do that specifically for a living.
He used to run baseball teams. That's the scarier part. Like he ran baseball, like grown men reported to him on on a daily basis for baseball reasons. Like it's crazy. Anyway, it just takes all kinds.
Woof.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish up this extra long edition of the podcast, but lots of great baseball chatter here on our extravaganza, our 2025 baseball preview extravaganza. Justin, any final thoughts before we wrap up? Any little alibis you want to get out there before we say goodbye?
First thing, this week on Baseball Prospectus, I'm going to have a story on the violent deaths of playoff darlings. And what teams have qualified for that name and how they have perished. in the postseason. I don't know.
I cannot wait.
Mets feature just made me want to write that. Yeah. Regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I want to complain that there is no opening day Eve game this year. Something that was always just a nice little nibble at the baseball apple before opening day. And if like the Tokyo series where the games are on at 6 a.m. is supposed to be the replacement for that.
No.
Poor choice.
That's something I don't care for potentially. And also the first game tomorrow is at 3 o'clock. Why are we not doing like a lunch hour? Where's my lunch game? Yeah.
I want to get drunk at lunchtime.
It's supposed to be an all day event.
It is. And I remember back as a kid, the Reds always used to have the first
game.
Yeah. Yes.
It was at like noon every single year.
Oh, yeah. They're not doing that anymore. Like they have that whole parade in Cincinnati. That's the famous thing.
Everyone loves it. It's a huge, big thing.
Yeah. They stopped doing that, apparently. Or at least Major League Baseball schedulers stopped making that a thing. Like,
they still have the parade and stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. They cannot stop them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're playing the Giants at 4:10. The Phillies will be playing by then. So, yeah. That's kind of a bummer. The Reds for so long had so little, it felt like, to like have for themselves as far as like recognized all across baseball. So this one little fun little opening day thing, and then baseball was like, no, we're not doing that. It's going to be the Brewers and Yankees at 3:05.
That's right. Take it right away from them like a little child. Liz, any final thoughts, anything we missed you want to mention before we say goodbye?
No, I got nothing other than go Phils.
It all starts Thursday afternoon in Washington, D.C. A nice, easy way to, you know, just kind of slide yourself into the pool here against the Nationals team that will struggle to reach mediocrity this year. But they've got some young talent to keep an eye on. It's going to be, they were a little bit spunky last year. Dylan Cruz, C.J. Abrams, Luis Garcia Jr., James Wood. These guys all look like they've got a good young core here in Washington, D.C., but they ain't ready yet. And the Phillies are coming in, and it should be a nice way to start off the season. Mackenzie Gore against Zach Wheeler in the opening day game against the Nationals should be a lot of fun, and it should be nice weather in the nation's capital for it as well. So hope everybody enjoys opening day, Phillies and the Nationals and the rest of the Major League Baseball schedule. That will do it for Hittin' Season. Want to just encourage you guys to make sure you check out our landing page over at BillyPenn.com. It's BillyPenn.com/Hittin' Season. And as you just heard, Justin and I now both are guaranteeing you the Phillies are winning the World Series. So Liz thinks they'll get there, but you know. No, you don't even think you're going to get there, right? That's right. It's the Dodgers who are getting there. But Liz thinks it's going to be a good effort.
And a real fun season at the ballpark.
So we are hoping that you will come along for the ride here as we approach our 10th anniversary on this podcast later in June.
Oh, my God.
So something to look forward to here in the middle of the season as well. Tell your friends and family members about Hittin' Season. Put it on their phones, follow the show, rate and review, all that good stuff. Get in on the ground floor of this World Series winning season right from the start. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.